In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church. And we are journeying through the book of Exodus, chapter 23, and we've been talking about justice. Justice towards the enemies. Justice towards the innocent. And it's been an incredible journey to realize how far our society has moved from true justice. And it's a sad, sad matter when we can't find justice in the land. We're coming now to verse 10, and this is about working in the land. You could say it's justice for the land, but I don't want to, you know, go too far here with the analogy, because justice to people is way more important than the land. But we're going to talk about the Sabbath, mercy and faith. So let's read Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 through 13. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all that I have said to you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth. Now, what's going on here? Well, we have 6 years in which they are to work the land. And in the seventh year, the Sabbath year, they are to let the land rest, lie fallow. Now, rest means to release the land from working. Beautiful picture. And lie fallow means until, no sowing of seed. So it's pretty clear, hey, you're not farming, period. Now, what are the benefits? The immediate benefits is that the poor and the beasts will glean, they'll be able to take from this land, and they'll be fed. Now, the implication is that the Lord would provide a bounty year in the sixth year to cover the seventh year. But he also would have to cover a couple more years, because think about it. There's the sixth year. Okay, so you're in the seventh year. You're not sowing or reaping or anything. All right, so your sixth year has to feed you for all the way through the seventh year. Then the eighth year, you start planting, right? You still have no food, so you need food for that year. Then at the end of the eighth year, finally, the land produces food and you can eat again. In fact, Leviticus 25:18 explains this. So you shall observe my statutes and keep my judgments and perform them, and you will dwell in the land in safety. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill, which is a beautiful picture of, hey, every need will be met. And you'll dwell there in safety. And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year, since we shall not sow nor gather in the seventh year in our produce, then I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year. And it will bring forth produce enough for 3 years. And you shall sow in the eighth year and eat old produce until the ninth year, until its produce comes in. You shall eat of the old harvest. Wow. Now think about this. You're a farmer, and every year it produces the same crop. But suddenly, in the sixth year, you get a threefold increase. How could you not see that God's hand was upon your land? What's so sad and hard to believe is that Israel blew this commandment off as a nation for 490 years. God was producing this bumper crop, and Israel continued to disobey and still till the land. This is why when Babylon captivity came along and there was a 70-year judgment, Jeremiah reveals that the reason it's 70 years is it's judgment for the 490 years, the 70 times that they did not obey this commandment from the Lord for those years. But it's just so amazing how God gives the produce first. And he does his end of the bargain first. He shows his faithfulness. All Israel had to do was trust and obey. Now, The principle here is the root cause of their disobedience is failure to worship according to God's word. They rejected God's word and his will for their life. So let's make sure we understand this. When we reject God, it first and foremost is an issue of worship. That's the heart of your sin. You don't want to worship God. Now, 6 days, seventh day. The word rest is sabbat. Ox, donkeys, animals, basically. Sons of your female servant. Strangers. Everyone. Everyone is to abide by this rule. The animals and the people will keep the land from growing out of control. So they're, God has this all worked out. And the word refreshed, beautiful picture. It literally means to catch one's breath. God knows you're working hard. God knows your body needs rest. He provides. We just need to seek him for that. Now, we're not under the Mosaic law, so we don't have to abide by this, but we see the wisdom of it, and that's why the government subsidizes farmers to let certain land rest, or they rotate crops in order for the soil to be replenished. But we're not under this. But the principle is still valid. Now, it says no idle talk. And I don't mean idle in the sense of worthless. I mean no talking about idols. Interesting how this is brought into the passage as well. Now, the word circumspect means to guard and carefully watch. Everyone in Israel is to make sure they don't talk about other idols. They're living in the land of Canaan. There's idolatry all around them. They haven't conquered all the land yet. There's pagans everywhere. And they're to guard and carefully watch what they say. In fact, the scriptures go on to say, make no mention. Do not even call to mind. God is warning them. Be careful. And he even goes on to say, nor let it be heard from your mouth. In other words, your mouth should not speak it. The ears shall not hear it. So if no one's talking and no one's listening, this conversation would end. But that did not happen, did it, in the land of Israel? And so they would eventually violate commandment number one from Exodus 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, in case you're wondering, what were those passages about Israel's future failure? 2 Chronicles 36:20 would be one, 20 through 21. And those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia. And that's when they would be able to go back into the land. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, here it is, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill the 70 years. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Israel's disobedience on display. Now, the longer passage is Jeremiah 32, 26 through 35. Let me read this. It's a little bit lengthy, but it's important. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans who fight against the city shall come and set fire to the city and burn it with the houses on whose roofs they have offered incense to Baal and poured out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. Israel was idolatrous because the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done only evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel provoked me only to anger with the work of their hands, says the Lord. For this city has been a provocation of my anger and my fury from the day they built it, even to this day. So I will remove it from before my face, because of all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they have turned to me the back, and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them. Yet they have not listened to receive instruction, but they have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Do you see the wickedness and waywardness of Israel and Judah? They've rejected God and his word. It's a worship problem. and they're now going to be judged. So let's be clear here. When God decides to judge, it's because the situation is so bad. We're looking at the caboose of their sins, not the train engine the first time of their sins. Now, I should mention this number 6 and 7, very important. In creation, remember, 6 days God labored creating the universe, and then God ceased from working on the seventh day. He rested. The week, 6 days, man should labor on earth. Man rests on the seventh day. The land, 6 years the land is work. The land rests on the seventh year. And Jubilee, 7 times 7 years equals 49 years. Then in the 50th year, everything resets. I love this passage. I wish we did this today. Leviticus 25:8, and you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself. 7 times 7 years. And the time of the 7th Sabbath of the year shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you. And each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. Debts were forgiven, family lands were returned, slaves were set free. Wow! Now you understand why we call it a Jubilee, a celebration. This would have been an amazing time in Israel if they fulfilled it properly. Now, theologically, this is key. The fertility of the land will be attributed to God in response to their obedience. This would be a stark contrast to all those pagan nations surrounding them. Molech was a fertility god, and the pagans gave their children to the fertility god so that their land would grow. That shows you how their minds were so darkened that they suppressed the truth, because it's the killing of the innocent that makes the land die. So they were actually doing the very opposite thing that they should have been doing. So all these instructions are to reinforce that God is both creator and redeemer. Boy, oh boy, we need to be reminded of these truths. Let's go to verse 14. We're not going to have the time to finish all of it, but let's continue with worshiping in the land, the festivals. 3 times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days. As I commanded you, at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you come out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, which you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. 3 times in the year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with the leavened bread, nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Well, our time is up. That's a cliffhanger. We're going to come back next time and explain these festivals and even this strange expression about the young goat being boiled in the mother's milk. Well, until then, may you continue to worship the Lord in all that you think, say, and do.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.